الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله. اللهم فصل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اقتفى أثرهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. لتعمل الدوكيج دكتور أديني كامرو عبد العزيز the chief imam of the Yoruba community, other organizers of this great occasion, especially the Mu'minat Network, whose initiative is this event we are holding today. My brothers and sisters from the Yoruba community in Duse and other brothers and sisters who are able to join us in this event, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. One very good thing that remains in my mind always is that whoever is able to do something to positively impact on the people he lives with, he should try as much as possible to do so and use his time without wasting it. With dedication, good intention, we have seen and we have witnessed what some good people could do. One very good example is our brother Imam Ridwan Jame, who is presently the chief imam of Lekki Mosque in Lagos. This personality, an exceptional one really, had the opportunity in 2011 to serve here in Duse in his NYSC program. And in the course of his stay in Duse, he was able to initiate ideas, projects, build a mosque and a school still being run by him. Although he lives in Lagos, but from time to time he visits Duse. The connection between him and Duse has become a perpetual one we really must appreciate. We, the people of Duse, must appreciate these kind of efforts and encourage other people who come to Duse for any other purpose, not necessarily for the NYSC program, to improve the relationship between the people of Duse and Jigawa State generally, and all other communities that are living within them. The relationship should be strengthened to a higher level. Alhamdulillah, the Yoruba community in Duse, the relationship between us has been very, very good. And that is why when Brother Ridwan Jame visited me in the office the university and invited me for this program. Or later on, he sent two brothers to hand over the invitation. I had to accept that I will attend. For the respect I have for the people, the Yoruba community in Dubai, and for the need of this relationship to be maintained, particularly at a time when some hands from within and outside our country are trying their worst, I would say, not their best, to divide the Muslims and bring them at loggerheads between each other, to make them fight each other, to sour the relationship and sever it in any way possible. It is our duty to remember that as Muslims, we are duty bound to stick to the teachings of Islam, as it is the only building force that will make us remain together. Ya ayyuhan nasu inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qaba'ila. For what purpose? لِتَعَارَفُ. Allah has mentioned clearly in the Quran, O you people, we have created you from a single male soul and a single female soul, that is Adam and Hawa, and made you to become nations and tribes. Nations and tribes. Allah made you to become nations and tribes. He made you to be a Yoruba, to be Hausa, to be Fulani, to be Igbo, not by your choice, but by the divine decree, in which no hand of yours has nothing to do but to submit. Allah has chosen that I will be created in so-so-so community, from so-so-so tribe. And that does not make you better than anybody by virtue of you being a Hausa or a Fulani or a Yoruba or an Igbo, but by virtue of what you are able to do. Your actions define who you are in a better way. The way you interact, you relate with other people in peace, in the love of development, in respect for each other, that is what will determine and identify who you are. And more especially, if it is in the sight of Allah, Allah has made it clear what is it that He considers to be the determining factor of who is the best person. Allah said in the last part of this verse, Inna akramakum inda Allah. Inna akramakum, the best of you, the best of you, the most honorable person, indallah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the sight of Allah, according to Allah's measurement, distinctive way of looking at things, valuing, evaluating people's deeds, according to Allah Ta'ala, the best of you is who? The person who is inna akramakum inda Allahi, what? At-taqum, the most pious, the most God-fearing, the most God-conscious, the person who acts according to the teachings of Islam with the fear of Allah, with the consciousness that Allah is having a watch over him. Whatever he says, Allah hears. Whatever he does, Allah sees and witnesses. The person who acts according to this consciousness, and this consciousness is what makes him to be a good person or not. This consciousness is what determines that you are a good person. And according to the sight of Allah, that is what will be considered. That is what will be what? Considered. You'll be considered a good person if you have this taqwa. So we thank all of you for having your time to join us in this program. Really, I had many things to do, but I have chosen today to attend this lecture. As I have said, first of all, I wish to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having to be with my friends, for having to be with my sons and daughters, to reflect upon what is important, particularly with regards to the forthcoming of the month of Ramadan. That is important, really important. And even if it is not to do with Ramadan, coming together to say as-salam to each other is worth coming. And alhamdulillah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us as we begin the program to finish it after being blessed, after the work being accepted, and our relationship is being mended and blended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the more. My brothers and sisters, I have been asked to talk about the issue of preparing the soul for Ramadan. How do we prepare to welcome Ramadan? How do we prepare our souls, more especially with regards to three distinctive and important peculiarities? One, the issue of taqwa. Secondly, the issue of sincerity. And third, the issue of consistency in the worship of Allah. These are things that we need in Ramadan and before Ramadan and after Ramadan. In fact, Ramadan is a training ground for us to learn about these three important things. We cultivate these things through Ramadan in a better way. Ramadan has been prepared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to be a training ground, a school, a place, a condition where the Muslim will be trained on how best to be a good and better Muslim. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that clearly in the Quran and in the verse that institutes the performance of the month of Ramadan, or the fasting of the month of Ramadan. Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqun, ayyaman ma'dudat.
O you who have believed, it has been ordained on you, it has been made obligatory upon you to fast the month of Ramadan, just the way the people who came before you were ordained, and the fasting, or the fasting of the month, has been made obligatory upon them. Fasting has been made obligatory upon the people who came, who lived on earth before Islam. And you who have believed in Allah and the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is obligatory upon you to observe the month of Ramadan and fast the days of the month. By desisting from eating and drinking and sexual intercourse and other things that invalidate the fast, to avoid that throughout the day up to when it is sunset. This observation, Allah has mentioned what? The wisdom behind the institution of the fasting of the month of Ramadan in the end of this verse. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. For you to have Allah's consciousness. For you to have that. So if you look at it critically, this verse teaches us everything to do with Islam. It's not the issue of Ramadan, the fasting alone, but the issue of being a good Muslim. How can you be a good Muslim? It's for you to have this taqwa. And we are going to discuss what taqwa means, not only in the context of Ramadan and the fasting of Ramadan, but generally. But discussing about the relation of taqwa with Ramadan is more suitable as we are talking about Ramadan and preparing to enter into Ramadan. Taqwa means the ability to guard yourself against the wrath, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Guard yourself. Put something between you and the wrath of Allah. Be able to win the pleasure of Allah by doing what is good and refraining from what is bad. Always have the feeling, the consciousness that Allah is having watch over you, that Allah has commanded you to do this and He has prohibited you from doing this. And this observance of this law that carries the do's and the don'ts teaches you about the dictates of the law. That is the embodiment of what is called what? Taqwa. So At-taqi is the person that always has the feeling that Allah misses nothing from him. وَمَا يَعْزُبُ أَنْ رَبِّكَ مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَلَا أَصْغَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْبَرَ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. There is nothing in the heavens and the earth, however little, however large inside, that can be hidden from your Lord, from Allah Ta'ala. Nothing is hidden. Even if you are able to hide yourself, to enter a room, to seclude yourself, either alone or with another person, whatever you do, Allah is having watch over you. So having this feeling and carrying it with you wherever you go And remembering that Allah sees you and hears what you do, it is one of the most important things that will make you excel as a Muslim. In the field of Tawheed, that you do not commit shirk. In the field of your other responsibilities, the way you follow the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without doing any bid'ah. So also when you come to the issue of how you exemplify your ibadah, how you pray, be sincere in the way you pray. Don't pray in front of people for them to know that you are able to perfect your prayer. You can recite very well. You can act or perform the act of prayer in a better way. But that is not the way you do when you are alone in your room. You only beautify your prayer because you are in front of other people, because you want to have their praises. You want them to praise you that you perform the salah very well. That means you are not sincere. We are going to talk about sincerity. Having this feeling that I must be sincere, I must worship Allah alone, I must do all I can to win the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to have the feeling that I cannot go anywhere to hide myself, to hide my actions from Allah. This is what is called what? Taqwa. So you see, taqwa is not only to do with the issue of Ramadan, but it's to do with the whole of your life as a Muslim. Wherever you are, you should have taqwa. That means of having the conscience or the consciousness, having the feeling to know in your mind, to accept with certainty that Allah is having watch over you. In fact, Allah knows what goes on within your mind. How can your outside actions be hidden from Him? If He knows what is in your bosom, in your mind, in your heart, what you are able to conceal from other people, from your fellow human beings, you can conceal things from them, not to witness, not to hear, but you cannot conceal it from Allah. So having that feeling always is what is meant to do what, to mean what? That is what is meant by taqwa. So you should have that feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is having watch over you, so you not do anything that will make you gain or have His wrath, but try to win His pleasure. Try to have His blessings. So Ramadan is the field where we learn about taqwa. How can taqwa be exemplified concerning Ramadan? That is an example I usually cite and give always when I talk about the issue of having taqwa and sincerity, especially when you are fasting. Each and every one of us, when he is fasting, he is afraid that something may invalidate his fast. Is that not so? You may be performing ablution in front of thousands of people, even in front of one person. When you are performing the ablution, the water you carry to rinse your mouth, you can intentionally have a part of that water
go down your throat and break your fast intentionally. You can do that without the person observing you having to know that. Is that possible? It is possible. Outwardly, you are performing ablution in front of a person and he is closely watching you, observing you. But you can still drink part of that water without him knowing. But what makes you stop from drinking that water? It is that taqwa that is based in your heart. I have the feeling that I don't want to have to fast another day or to have to fast for some other days after Ramadan. So I don't want to suffer. I want to complete my fast. So I am sincerely fasting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I don't want anything to invalidate my fast. That taqwa that is contained in you, that will stop you from invalidating your fast. That will make you feel that Allah is having watch over you. This is a very large university. It's more than one training school. But it's a university in life. It's a university, really. You learn not only how to perfect your fast of Ramadan, but how to perfect your deeds as a Muslim in whatever respect. So you are learning to be a good Muslim through taqwa. And that is what we have seen in the life of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the life of the Sahaba, in the life of the Salafus Salih generally. They have given us good examples in their lives of how to be a good Muslim and have the feeling that Allah Ta'ala is having watch over you so that you only do the things that Allah will approve and refrain from the acts that Allah will disapprove. If you learn nothing in Ramadan but this, is enough a lesson for you. Is it not? It is really enough a lesson for us to be good people. If look at it this way, Allah has mentioned in this verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So the wisdom behind the institution of this fast is for you to have taqwa. So look at it this way. Ramadan has been made for you as a training ground. If you are able not to eat in the morning, not to drink in the morning, if you are able to avoid sexual relationships in the morning, in the afternoon, all through the day up to sunset, if you are able to control yourself for 1 month, not to eat, not to drink, and have patience upon your urge, your sexual urge, you can maintain that. You can disregard the temptations. You can try as much as possible to gain position over shaitan and reduce and diminish his influence upon you for only 30 days, then how can you not control yourself for the rest of the 11 months you are living in the year? This is the point. So if you can lead a good life in Ramadan for 30 days or 29 days without going against the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet, without going against anything instituted by Allah, then you'll be able to be a good person in the first of Shawwal up to the end of Sha'ban the next year.
And this is the point that is needed for you to have an overhaul of what you are as a Muslim, to make you a better person. And that is why in other things to do with the preparation, we are going to talk about them in due course, you are requested to repent before it is Ramadan. Repent. Sincere repentance. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu tubu ila Allah tawbatan nasuhan. A sincere repentance such that you don't go back and do that act again from which you have repented. Have that in your mind. Let me prepare myself by repenting. We are going to talk about that. Let us finish talking about the definition of taqwa and how it influences our life before Ramadan, during Ramadan, and after Ramadan. As-Salaf al-Saleh, when you learn about their lives concerning Ramadan, and that is why they have keen interest of learning about Ramadan, reading about Ramadan, and admonishing themselves about how to be good people in Ramadan. They engage only in good deeds, and that is why they seclude themselves. They leave behind them everything that will not earn them the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They use their time, and I'm going to talk about that inshallah concerning the issue of time. Secondly, we come to the issue of sincerity. Sincerity, that is ikhlas. Ikhlas is to avoid show off. Ikhlas is to have sincerity of purpose. Ikhlas means to initiate the intention of gaining the pleasure of Allah in whatever you do. Ikhlas means to avoid the feeling that people will praise you over the act you perform. Ikhlas means to dedicate whatever you do wholeheartedly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't listen to, don't have the feeling that even somebody is watching you. Only have the feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you, and you are dedicating this work for Him and to Him alone. You don't want the words of praise from anybody, but only the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the meaning of ikhlas. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the known hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which has been reported by Al-Imam Muslim ibn Hajjaj in his As-Sahih, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, in showing the virtue and the importance of ikhlas, when He comes to punish people, He will start by punishing two distinctive people, or three distinctive people. The first of them is the alim, the one who has knowledge. He has memorized the Quran. He was able in his life to teach many people about the Quran, about the meanings of the Quran, how best to live a good life in Islam. He has taught many people about that. Allah will ask him on the Day of Judgment, what have you been able to do as a Muslim? Allah will mention what He has done for him. We have done for you so and so. We have given you this. He will list the bounties and the favors He had on the servant. And the servant will say, "Oh Allah, I have really learned
about the Quran. I have taught about the people about the Quran. I've been able to live according to the teachings of the Quran. Allah will declare it from the onset. You are lying. You are what? Lying. You have only done what you have claimed to have done in order to gain the praise of people, and they have failed you. Allah knows what is well. Here. That is why the best thing you will do, wallahi, is for you to perfect your relationship with Allah by making perfect what you have in your mind. Be a good person. Not for people to say. Be a good person for you to enjoy on the day of judgment. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you first before He punishes any other person. So it's not the issue of gaining the praise of other people. For them to know, for them to see, or for them to say that Mr. So-so and so is a good person. It does not add any value when you go and meet your Lord on the day of judgment. People talk about you positively does not add any value. If they are negatively mentioned, they will not diminish anything from the value you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the best thing is for you to be sincere. What more of doing that in the month of Ramadan? In the month of Ramadan, be sincere in your fast. Be sincere in your prayers. Be sincere in your sadaqah, in the sadaqah you give out. Be sincere. Don't give out for people to witness, for them to praise you and say, oh, this is a very good person, a very kind person. Because he looks after the poor people. He gives out. No, you do it for the sake of Allah. And that is why one of the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make to enter under the shade of Al-Arsh on the day of judgment is the person who gives with his right hand while his left hand was not aware. Who can do this? For you to give out with your right hand and the left hand is not aware that you have given. If this part of your body is not aware of your actions, how can you let other people who are not part of your body to know whatever you do? Try to hide the good deeds you do. This is one thing about the Salaf al-Saleh, what they used to do. It is known fact about one of the Salaf, Ali ibn Hussein Zain al-Abidin. It is said about him, as reported by Al-Zahabi in Sir Alam al-Nubala and many other writers about the history of Islam and our Salaf al-Saleh, that there was a time in Medina when people observed that during the night, when they come out to go to the mosque for the morning prayer, that is the Fajr prayer, they usually find a sack of food put in front of their houses. A small sack containing some food items. It is put there. And they will come back to their family happily. So they say, okay, this is what I got when I was on my way to the mosque. I opened the door, I just saw this. He and his family will enjoy the meal and have that happiness. But when Ali Zain al-Abidin died, the talk of the town was that people missed that food, those food items they used to find.
So it was one of the acts of Ali Zain al-Abidin. He used to follow people in their houses and put these food items in front of their houses without them knowing from where. This is one very good act of As-Salaf al-Saleh. They don't want people to even praise them. These are actions that only came to be known after the death of Ali Zain al-Abidin. Where can we get insincerity here? He has even left the world. He couldn't even enjoy the praise. Whatever you say, he was not there to enjoy. He has left the world. These are the things we need to inculcate into our minds to teach ourselves, for us to be sincere, not only in terms of giving out, but in terms of whatever you do. So Ramadan and the fast of Ramadan teaches us to be sincere, teaches us to be sincere in our salah, in our sadaqah, in our hajj, in our zakah, in our hajj, in whatever we do. That is why after Ramadan, when we are blessed to have the opportunity to go for hajj, we'll not waste our time taking selfies and sending to people, because we have learned through Ramadan to be sincere. We'll not go for tawaf and we'll be taking selfie and sending to people, okay, I'm here. See me here with my friends. Because you have gone through the school of Ramadan and you have been taught to be sincere. How do you get this form? These are the best ways to practicalize these teachings about Islam. It's not the issue of learning about the hadith, memorizing them. Yes, that is good. Learn the hadith, memorize the hadith, but more importantly, put the hadith in practice. Put the hadith in practice. The second person to be called by Allah is the person who was killed, the martyr who was killed in jihad. Allah will ask him, or he will tell him, he will relate to him about the favors he has given him in this world. And the person will say, oh Allah, really, I believe. And I thank you for the favors. And one of the things I have done, I have done everything I could to strive to live as a Muslim and participate in the jihad, and I was even lucky to have been killed in the battlefield. Allah Ta'ala will say, you are a lying person. You are lying. You went for the jihad because you want people to praise you, for them to say, oh, Mr. So-so-so was a martyr. He has been killed in the battlefield. You want your name to be mentioned among the strong people. And people have said that. Today, you have nothing here. And all the efforts have been wasted because of what? He was not sincere. And the third person is the philanthropic person, the person who tries to enter into the lives of his people by helping others, giving out from his wealth. Allah will ask him what he was able to do, and he will mention these things. There is nothing that requires, there were no instances when wealth or money was needed for something to help people or to help in the cause of Allah, but I have done what I could. Allah will say, you are lying. You are wrong. You have done everything there,
for people to praise you and say, oh, this person is a very philanthropic, somebody is very good, he helps people. And today, nobody will give you anything here because you did it for people to say and they have said it. I think you have known this hadith and you have been hearing about it from the ulama for long. Take that hadith and put it in the context of our discussion about how to be good during Ramadan. Make your life as a Muslim to be good in relation to what you perform, what you do, and the actions you do in Ramadan and after Ramadan to reflect what you have learned in Ramadan. أسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يوفقني وإياكم. The third part of this discussion, I will try to be brief really, is the issue of consistency in your acts. Whatever you do, try to be consistent. Consistent in the fact that whatever you are able to do, even if it is small in quantity, try to maintain the quantum. Maintain the pace. Maintain the way you relate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to continuously do the same thing. Even if it is one particular thing you will continue doing, do it. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha has reported the famous hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when one day he entered the house and he met a woman, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Aisha, who was that woman? Aisha mentioned her name. She was so so and so. In the hadith, Aisha didn't mention the name, but she told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this woman was telling me about her ibadat, the kind of ibadah, the kind of actions she used to do during the night prayer in particular, that she suffered a lot, she couldn't sleep well, she used the whole of the night praying. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then called her attention. He said, "Iklafu min al-amali ma tufiqu." In one of the relation reports of the hadith, the versions of the hadith, iklafu means do what you are able, put upon yourself. Taklif from the word taklif, iklafu, yeah, bear the responsibility of what you can perform, what you can continue doing. Then he says, إن أحب الأعمال أو أفضل الأعمال عند الله أدومه وإن قل أدومه وإن قل. What's the meaning of this hadith? What you are able to consistently do, to continue doing, even if it is small in quantity, is better than putting upon yourself the burden of doing so much and you cannot continue. I hope you get to understand it. Yeah. Even if you are able to pray only 3 rak'ahs in the night, then continue that up to the end of Ramadan. Yes. I'm talking about the prayer you do alone. Instead of after performing the tarawih in the mosque, and come back and do other salawat in the night, do what you are able to do. And after Ramadan, even if you want to pray the tahajjud prayer, night prayer alone, try to start with a small number. Start with 3. Hmm? 3. I won't ask you to start with 1. Yeah. It has been reported from some of the Sahaba. I could remember Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It was reported from him that sometimes he used to pray with only one rak'ah. But it's the rak'ah from a sahabi, not an ordinary person, yeah, like you or me. Yeah, this is one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was able to witness the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the life at home, the life in the mosque, the life in jihad. That is why one of the salaf, when he heard somebody saying Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, Khamis al-Khulafa al-Rashidin, instead of mentioning Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, instead of mentioning Muawiyah after Ali, he mentioned Hassan, then Muawiyah after that, he mentioned Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. One of the Salaf, when he heard this from the person who said, know that Muawiyah is better than Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. He said, not that alone. The dust, you know what is called dust? Ura. The dust that entered the nose of Muawiyah at the time of his jihad with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that dust is better than Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. This is not something that will show what somebody among the Salaf has degraded Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, comparing him to a dust. But when somebody compares a Sahabi with another person who was not a Sahabi, he really deserves this kind of answer. So the Sahaba are the greatest human beings after the Anbiya and Ar-Rusul, and the best of them is Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and the rest of them. May Allah have mercy on all of them, and may He be pleased with all of them. Muawiyah used to, it has been reported from him, but I'm calling upon myself and you, in your night prayers, you start with 3 rak'ahs. If you can do that consistently without leaving it later on, that is better for you than starting with the 11 rak'ah and one day you cannot go ahead with it and you come back to 9, you come back to 7, you come back to 5, maybe you even leave the 3. That is not the kind of thing that is required of you. As a Muslim, you need to be consistent. Train yourself during Ramadan to be good, and so that after Ramadan, you will continue to be doing good. This is the training that we require in Ramadan concerning this. This is just a reflection upon the teachings we need to ponder upon to learn. More importantly now, I would like to admonish my brothers and sisters and remind myself more to have a plan for yourself during Ramadan. Have a plan. If you don't plan anything, then you have chosen not to plan. Whoever does not plan, he has chosen what? To fail. Yeah, you have chosen to fail. What preparation can you make for your life as a Muslim in Ramadan? One of the important things I want to remind you about, particularly, I know we may not be able to meet again concerning or before Ramadan, but the most important thing is for you to reflect upon and always remember your sincere intention. Why are you fasting the month of Ramadan? Just ask yourself, why am I fasting the month of Ramadan? Can you ask yourself this question, please?
ask yourself now, why am I doing it? You are doing it. You are fasting the month of Ramadan because Allah has made it obligatory upon you. This is the answer. Don't bring another answer. I am doing this because Allah said I should do. By learning this in Ramadan, you will learn that later on after Ramadan, whatever Allah has ordered you and commanded you to do, you are doing it because Allah has said you should do. Don't ask questions. You learn to be submissive. Submissive, I mean. To be submissive to Allah Ta'ala in the sense that whatever you are asked to do, you just go ahead and do it. This is an independent school for somebody to be subjected to the training of Ramadan, to learn about Ramadan, to learn how to be submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continue to be like that to the end of his life. So try to learn this issue. Why are you fasting in the month of Ramadan? I am doing it because Allah said I should do it. Why are you praying? I am praying because Allah said I should do it. It's not about thinking about the logical wisdom behind any act. These are things that may be helpful sometimes because they may be motivators that will encourage us to do good. But even if you don't know the wisdom behind the institutionalization of something upon you, making it obligatory upon you, even if you don't know that, try to be what? To learn that when Allah says you should do this, just go and do it. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded you to do something, just do it. You will be a better Muslim when you look at things this way. But not to ask, what is the wisdom behind this? Why am I doing this? You look at the empirical purposes or reasons that make you do something? No. But look at the issue from the perspective that you have been commanded to do that by who? By your Creator. By who? By the Messenger. The best of creation. If you do that, you will train yourself to be a good Muslim. So ask yourself, why am I fasting the month of Ramadan? Why are you praying? Why are you reciting the Quran? Everything, ask yourself. And this is what will make you refreshing your intention. It is one very good thing for a Muslim to do is to always remember his intention. Tajdidu niyyah. That is called tajdidu niyyah. Jadid niyyatak. Is'al nafsaka. Limadha af'alu kada. Wa limadha kharajtu min bayti. Aina attajihu. Ila aina. Ma'a man ajlis. Madha aqul. Whatever you do, ask yourself, why am I doing this? Ask yourself about your motive, and that is where you will purify your intention. So in Ramadan, we try to do what? The fasting itself. Try to be steadfast in your observation of your 5 daily prayers. It is very important for us to remind ourselves about the importance of these 5 daily prayers. You find some young men nowadays, they are heedless towards the observation of these 5 daily prayers. But they observe other things. And when Ramadan comes, there are people who only fast during the month of Ramadan. This is totally wrong. Yeah, you must fast, not fast, they only pray during the month of Ramadan. But the right thing is for them to what? To pray always the 5 daily prayers
observe them at the right time and also observe the fasting of the month of Ramadan. Then engage in the recitation of the Quran. Plan to read the Quran. How many times will you read through the Quran? That is what you call sawka. Oba sawka ku jeje nsa ba? How many sawka will you be able to do? To read the Quran, to recite the Quran from its beginning to the end. This is something the Salaf consider very, very important in their day. They don't take it lightly. It is very serious. You'll find that some of them recite the whole of the Quran every 3 days, making them do the sawka how many times? 10 times in the month of Ramadan. At least, this is something you can do without subjecting yourself into any difficulty. It's very easy. You can do it. But the problem is, do we plan? Most of us don't plan. Plan your time. You attend tafsir after asr. After the tafsir, you go and prepare for your iftar. After the iftar, you prepare for taraweeh. Then in the morning, even in your working place, when you are free, try to use that time for the Quran. Try to use that time for the Quran. Have time for your azkar after Fajr prayer. Morning azkar, particularly the istighfar and the salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you plan your time from so-so-so time to another, so-so-so time, I will engage in so-so-so act. From so-so-so time to another time, I will engage in so-so-so act. If you plan, inshallah, you will be able to use your time in a better way. Lastly, inshallah, let me conclude. Our dealings with our phones. What do we do with our phones in Ramadan? Do you know what I'm talking about? Everybody knows phone. This phone, what should be your relationship with this thing during Ramadan? Observe yourself now. I'm asking you this question sincerely. Please. How many hours, how many amount of data do you spend on your phone daily? Ask yourself. I'm just asking you to give me the answer. Give the answer to yourself. When you have that answer, you have the number of hours, then ask yourself, is this the right thing to do? Does the phone, regardless of the content, regardless of the content, does this phone deserve the whole of this time? It does not. It does not. Some people will say, well, there are things that are very beneficial in the phone. We use the phone for so and so. Yeah, really. There are. But there are many other things that are more harmful than the benefit you gain. Try to be wise. In the course of benefiting from something, don't harm your faith, your iman. Don't let your faith diminish, even to the slightest level. Don't give shaitan that chance to have a ruling over you. So you should try as much as possible to reduce the time of your usage of the phone from so hours to a limited, very limited number of minutes or hours. They are enough for you to listen to something, an admonition, to listen to a particular tafsir you want to enjoy, some verses of the Quran. But the most important thing is the ability to control yourself. The ability to do what? To control yourself. Have control on yourself. If we are asking you to have control on your phone, what they do with their phone, then how can you control you yourself? Control yourself. So reduce the number of hours and try to even remove the applications that take much data from you and that take much, so much time and they are harmful to you. If I were you, really, I will try to even remove some applications until after Ramadan. Maybe somebody will say, okay, but even in Ramadan, even in TikTok, I have other good things to... You know, these things, whatever you usually watch, is what will come your way. I hope you know this. Yeah. If you usually watch something beneficial, then your TikTok or whatever reel you are following, it will just follow the same way. You'll be watching only good things, although the bad thing flash from time to time, and Shaitan is always there by the door to push you through, and when you see one, then they will continue coming also. So there is need for you to have control over yourself, what you do with your phone. Thirdly, anything that will harm your relationship with Allah is not easy. It's not easy. Anything that will make Allah to have some wrath upon you, to make Allah dislike you, this is something very serious. Who can you bear the result of having his father or his husband or his grandfather feeling bad about him? Everybody does not like that, huh? But this is your creator. This is your creator. How can you bear a situation where Allah does not like you? And if you continue with this kind of actions, particularly in your use of your phone, in the bad way, in the wrong way, then Allah will not be pleased with you. As'alullah as-salamat wal-afiyah. Reduce the time you are using social media for... Okay, no problem, inshallah. He's asking me to, if you have mentioned that from the beginning, we would have been mixing the discussion. He said there are some people who do not get things and understand them very well in English language, and there are many in number. We should try to mention some things in Hausa. But I've already finished. Yeah, really. It's okay. Let me go to the end, then maybe I will give a summary of what we have mentioned. So try as much as possible not to indulge much in social media issues. Attend places for tafsir, gain and benefit much from that. Then recite the Quran also. Then you can disseminate and share good things about Ramadan, about the Quran, about the Ahadith. That will help others understand more about Islam. And another thing is avoid sharing anything that is not allowed with your phone. Don't share anything. don't enter into a group that engages in anything Allah does not like, particularly talking and speaking ill about other people. Gulmache, saying bad things about other people. In Ramadan, if you cannot control your mouth, you are bound to even not only diminish your reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but some other act may even lead to the invalidation of your fast. Learn more about the issue of suhoor and iftar. In fact, all the rulings to do with al-ahkam, the rulings to do with Ramadan, you should go and learn some things about them before Ramadan. In this remaining 4 days in Sha'ban, try as much as possible to read through 1, 2, or 3 books about Ramadan, about fasting, about what is required of you as a Muslim during the month of Ramadan. Inshallah, it will help you. My brothers, with this, I have come to the end of what I intended to say concerning this lecture, particularly on the three main segments, an important part of the lecture, that is about taqwa, ikhlas, and istimrar ala ta'a. Abinda muka tattauna a wannan muhadara, zan kira ta muhadara ne ko in kira ta da 'yar gaisuwa da muka yi da 'yan uwa, shine abinda ya shafi shirye-shirye domin tinkarar watan Ramadan. Jiya a hudu ba mun yi magana mai kama da wannan, ta dage a shirya a shiga makarantar azumin watan Ramadan. Ramadan makaranta ce da ake wa musulmi garin bawul, da ake kintsa shi, ake masa training a kan zama kyakkyawan musulmi. Kyakkyawan musulmi shine wanda alaƙarsa da Allah yake kintsa ta. Yanzu ku duba ku ga kun yi shiru tun da na fara zancen nan, ko kabbarori ban yi ba, kuma dama haka nake so. Amma me ye dalili? Yanzu da mun tattauna a kan siyasa da duniya da faɗin laifin wasu, da daga gate za a riƙa jin kabbara. Haka dai ko ba haka ba? But usually when you tell people things that require them to mend their ways in the way they relate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is how they react. Galibi haka mutane suke. Ne kana gyara musu zuciya, to za ka ga ba sa irin hargitsi da hargowa da kuma ɗaukaka sauti da suka saba yi. Aita na'am, 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 ana kabbara saboda ana faɗin laifin wasu. Amma tun da yanzu laifinmu ake faɗa, mu zama masu gaskiya, mu zama mun san meye ma'anar taƙawa. Mu shiga makarantar Ramadan a koya mana taƙawa, yadda kake tsoron kar ka karya azuminka ko da a gaban mutane. To ka yi ƙoƙari bayan Ramadan kada ka yi abin da Allah zai fushi da kai saboda shi. Daga ka zo za ka aikata mummunan laifi, ko gulmace, ko shan giya, ko zina, ko menene, ko meye, kana zuwa shedan ya fara labakowa zuciyarka zai sa ka aikata wannan mummunan abu, sai ka ce ina tsoron Allah. Na fata Allah baya son wannan, don haka ba zan yi ba. Yakan ba da misali da dan adam, kamar da dan uwa yake ambatawa ayar suratu An-Nahl, walillahi al-masalul a'la wa huwa al-azizul hakim. A rayuwar ɗan adam, in ka ba shi misali da abin da ya sani, yakan faɗakar da shi dangane da Allah ta'ala. Kowa a cikinmu yana kunyar babansa ko tsoron babansa ina kunyar sirikinsa ina kunyar shugaban garinsu haka ne in aka ce ya je gabansa ya faɗi wani abu musamman ma dai yanzu aka ce ana da taro za a je gidan gwamna za a haɗu gwamna zai zo za a zauna da shi za a ci abinci ya Allah wani irin kaya take sawa jiya a makaranta na kira wani saurayi ya zo muka yi sallah da irin tirikota ɗin nan kun san tirikota yi ko kun daina sawa tirikota ya shigo da shi masallaci ya yi sallah bayan idan ban masa magana a cikin jama'a ba sai ni kira shi gefe shi tsakani da Allah da gidan gwamna za ka laka tafi haka ya'a ina su amma masallaci ba gidan gwamna ba gidan waye gidan Allah baitullah sun yi buyutin radiyallahu an yurfa an turfa wa yuzkara fi hasmuhu baitullah gidan Allah ne ɗakin Allah ne masallaci to amma ya zo da tsiri kwata ko baƙo aka ce ka yi a ƙofar gida baka san waye ba ai baka zo da tsiri kwata ko ba gaba ne to wannan abin da zai hana ka ka yi abin kunya a cikin jama'a me yasa ba za ka riƙa tuna cewa Allah yana kallon ka ba wannan abin shi ake so idan mutum fa ya kai wannan matsayin wallahi ya gama fasakin addininsa abinda zai sa ka ce ba zan yi kaza ba saboda Allah baya so ba zan je gunta ba saboda Allah baya so ba zan yi zina ba saboda Allah baya so ba zan yi ƙarya ba saboda Allah baya so ba zan yi gulmar wani ba saboda Allah baya so ba zan je wurin rawa da maza da mata ba saboda Allah baya so ba zan zagi uban kowa ba saboda Allah ya hana yadda ba na san a zagi ubana haka zan girmama uban kowa mu zauna lafiya to wannan shi ne fatakawa kuma ka zo ka gyara aikinka duk abin da za ka yi ka yi shi don Allah wannan makarantar ta Ramadan za ta koya maka zama mutumin kirki ka yi don Allah kada ka yi don ka burge mutane duk abin da wani ɗan adam zai faɗa a kanka na amfani wallahi ba zai rage maka kima abun Allah ba zai wato ƙara maka kai wata daraja abun Allah ba shi Allah yana kallon ka ne yana maka hukunci ne gwargwadon abin da ya sani dangane da kai shi yasa duk duniya ba mai ma wa'azi irin wa'azin da za ka yi wa kanka ko akwai in dai ka iya wa'azin wallahi babu wanda ya san ka sama da kai kanka ina yawan faɗin wannan abu kai ka san kai mutumin kirki ne ko maƙayyaci kai ka san kai mutumin kirki ne ko munafiki ko ba ka bane duk inda ake ganin ka a zahiri kila a batini ba haka kake ba to wallahi kai kokari ka gyara batinin nan naka wannan tsakaninka da Allah din it doesn't matter what people say kar ka damu da me mutane suka ce sun zage ka ba ruwanka sun yaba maka ba ruwanka akwai wata magana ta Malam Ibn al-Qayyim da yake cewa duk mutumin da yake iya hawa ko ya samu sikinul ya'si sai ya kwantar da mahamadatun nasi sai ya yanka wannan mahamadatun nasin kamar wani rago ne tare da sikinul ya'si wuƙa ce sunanta wuƙar ya'as wuƙar ɗaya da ƙauna ya yanka neman yaban mutane to insha Allah shi ne mukhlisi za ka iya kaiwa matakin ikhlasi kawai in ba ka son jama'a su yaba maka yana da hatsari mu riƙa entertaining mutane suna yaba mana wani shi ne kaza ai shi ne kaza kuma a ƙyale irin waɗannan abubuwa yana da kyau faɗakar da mutane wannan abubuwan suna cutar da zuciyar mutum suna sanya masa tunanin abinda ba haka yake ba dangane da kansa abu na uku da muka tattauna shi ne abinda ya shafi dagewa da ci gaba da kyawawan ayyuka komai kankantar su. Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha ta ruwaito daga manzon Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wata rana da ya shigo ya ga wata mata ya tambayi wannan wace ce. Daga baya Aisha take ba shi labari ai sunanta wance, tana ba ni labarin yadda take bauta ne tana wahala sosai da dare ba ta bacci kullun sallah da sauransu. Sai Annabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ce ku dora wa kanku abin da za ku iya na daga ayyuka, abinda Allah ya fi so shine ku aikata kadan wanda za ku dawwama a kai, kadan din da za ka dawwama a kai ba ka ragewa ka sauka ka kasa ka fasa gaba daya, to ya fi soyuwa a gurin Allah ta'ala. Za ka mu doye da Allah mu zama mutanen kirki, mu ji tsoron Allah, mu yi don Allah, kuma mu miƙe wajen aikin kirki. Kuma Ramadan ya zama mana makaranta ce wajen koyon waɗannan abubuwan uku da tsari a kansu, yadda zai zama wata 11 da za su biyo bayan watan Ramadan su zama wato a cikinsu mun zama mutanen ƙwarai, mun gwada abin da muka koya a cikin watan Ramadan. Ina roƙon Allah ta'ala ya saka muku da alheri, Allah ta'ala ya karɓi abin da muka faɗa daidai, Allah kuma ya biya mu ya ba mu ya ninka mana ladansa, Allah ta'ala kuma ya amfane mu. Ni da nake faɗi Allah sa in fi ku duk baki ɗayanku aiki da abin da na faɗa. Kuna so in fi ku? In fi ku aiki da abin da nake faɗi. To Allah ya sa dukkanmu mu haɗu a kan aikata abin da ke shi ne daidai. Yawwa, Allah ya ba mu ikon a zama mutanen kirki. Allah ya sa mu shiga watan Ramadana lafiya. Allah kuma ya ba mu ikon aikin kirki. Allah ya sa Ramadan ya canza mu mu zama mutanen kirki sama da yadda muke. Allah ya gafarta mana zunubanmu, abinda muke yi a ɓoye wanda ba ma so a gani, wanda ba shi da kyau. Ya Allah ka taimake mu daina shi. Allah ka yafe mana daga mun zo za mu zauna za mu aikata ko da wayar mu ne ko da kwamfuta. Ya Allah ka tuna mana mu ji tsoronka mu ce mun fasa. Allah ka yafe mana kuma wanda ya gabata. Allah ka karɓi tubanmu. Allah ka zaunar da wannan ƙasar ta mu lafiya, ka ba mu haɗin kai da son juna. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahu akbar. Takbir. Takbir.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Asafte.